It's Friday, October 12th. I'm Paul Joseph Watson. This is InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, Turkey scrambles jets to Syria in response to an alleged bombing. Then, shocking news as a man is tasered for having a seizure. And Washington may be the first state to give the green thumb to the sale of Mary Jane. All that and more, coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Top story tonight out of Infowars.com. Disabled vet labeled terrorist for investigating cost of surveillance cameras. A 55-year-old disabled veteran was labeled a terrorist by three county commissioners after he photographed security cameras at the Elbert County Administration Building in Colorado as part of an investigation, a designation the man claimed was retribution for him filing multiple open records requests. So this story surrounds this gadfly-type character called Don Pippin, who is a local guy there in that county that files a lot of requests for information from his government. You know, God forbid he should dare ask questions of the people who are supposed to serve him. And basically he was filming some surveillance cameras in the area as part of an investigation into one of these open record requests. And basically a good little snitch saw what he was doing, saw it as suspicious activity, and then told the county commissioners. So obviously under the DHS paradigm now, watching the watchers filming surveillance cameras is deemed as terrorist activity. So the commissioners labelled him a terrorist and got a temporary order banning him from coming anywhere near the building. They then tried to get a judge to permanently ban him from the building, claiming he was, quote, casing it for a possible terrorist attack. This is a 55-year-old disabled veteran. And so the judge responded by throwing it out, calling it complete nonsense, saying the guy was not a threat to anyone. And now Pippin is actually suing the commissioners for $2.4 million in damages. So again, it's another act of petty tyrants. They tried to get the guy labeled as a terrorist because he challenged his local government to explain their policies on a regular basis. But I guess, you know, under the new definitions being given to law enforcement agencies as part of their training programs, people who, you know, ask questions of government, people who hold popular views, that was one of the designations, they're the new terrorists. Because we had the US Army manual a couple of weeks ago. People frustrated with mainstream ideologies, that was one of the quotes, they're now also potential terrorists. So we cover this angle basically every week now. The war on terror has come full circle. It's pointing directly at the American people. And it's designating people who simply ask questions of their government as potential terrorists. And they did it just to get him out of the way because he kept filing these records asking them to explain their policies. So they thought, let's just define him as a terrorist, get him banned from coming in the building and he won't be a nuisance anymore. So again, an act of petty tyrants. This guy stood up for himself, the judge threw it out, and now he's suing them for every penny he can get, so good luck to him. Rand Paul backs away from Romney's neocon foreign policy. This is Kurt Nimmo, Infowars.com. On Wednesday, Kentucky Senator Rand Paul issued a scathing criticism of Mitt Romney's foreign policy speech delivered earlier in the week. In August, Paul came out in support of the Republican presidential candidate, much to the dismay of his father's supporters and others who saw him as inheriting Ron Paul's political mantle. Quote, Romney chose to criticize President Obama for seeking to cut a bloated Defense Department and for not being bellicose enough in the Middle East. Two assertions with which I cannot agree, Paul said. In North Africa and the Middle East, our problem has not been a lack of intervention. In the past 10 years, we have fought two full wars there and bombed or sent troops to several other countries. So basically, bravo to Rand Paul. I mean, this goes a long way to restoring some of the confidence in him, because even as the mass media hailed Romney's foreign policy speech as signaling, you know, a huge change from the Obama administration, what Romney actually announced was just an intensification of the same thing. more pressure on Iran, despite the fact that the sanctions have already crippled their economy, and of course more support in terms of heavy weaponry to the glorious Al-Qaeda-led Syrian rebels, most of whom aren't even Syrian. So now the Republicans for weeks have been harping on about this Benghazi attack as a repudiation of Obama's foreign policy, and no arguments there, it certainly was. We had the same extremists the US armed and funded through NATO to overthrow Gaddafi who are now attacking US embassies in the region. But then Romney turns around and says we're going to arm the Syrian rebels when it's the same people. How can that represent a change in foreign policy when he just said he's going to do the same thing? It's the same Salafi extremists who have flooded into Syria from all the surrounding countries at the behest of, you know, the CIA, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Qatar. They're funding it all. And it's the same people they funded in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi. So Romney has openly announced that he's going to continue the same disastrous foreign policy as Obama to an even greater degree. And the media comes out and says, this is a huge shift. This is a huge change in approach when it's precisely the same policy, only to a greater extent. So we really are living in the twilight zone with this story. Farage slams Nobel Peace Prize force as insurgency and violence reign. This is out of Zero Hedge. We noted earlier the somewhat surrealistic decision to award the Nobel Peace Prize to the European Union, though entirely consistent, it would seem, given their previous Obama decision. But now UKIP's Nigel Farage has weighed in with his boots-on-the-ground perspective of this farce. Quote, you only have to open your eyes to see the increasing violence and division within the EU, which is caused by the Euro project. He said, adding that, quote, the awarding of this prize to the EU brings it into disrepute. He also said, quote, rather than bring peace and harmony, the EU will cause insurgency and violence. That's Nigel Farage, head of UKIP. But, you know, it's kind of par for the course with the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, you know, if the Nobel Peace Prize had been around over 2,000 years ago, Julius Caesar would have had a trophy cabinet full of them, because every year it's, you know, Obama, then he goes and bombs Libya. Henry Kissinger's won it in the past. All kind of war criminals have won the Nobel Peace Prize, and this time it's gone to the EU. So basically, the message again is you have to be a warmonger to win the Peace Prize in this Orwellian world we're living in. So the European Union's support for both the conquest of Libya and now Syria obviously put them in with a good shout. I mean, you have to support war, you have to wage war to be in with a good shout at winning this peace prize. But I think what really tipped it in their favour is the fact that police in Europe have been peacefully beating the crap out of their own countrymen against who are protesting against these austerity measures, which of course are a direct consequence of the failed EU project. So the lesson is, you know, if you send troops in to invade sovereign countries while simultaneously beating the crap out of your own people, then you're pretty much a shoe in for the Nobel Peace Prize. And that's what the EU's done, and they've won it today. Turkey deploys fighter jets to Syria border after frontier village reportedly bombed. This is out of Russia Today. According to witnesses, Turkey scrambled two fighter jets to the Syrian border in response to an army helicopter bombing the Syrian border town of Azmarin, Reuters reported. Fighting between the Syrian government and rebels recently erupted in Azmarin, with several refugees fleeing the violence by crossing the border into Turkey yesterday. The town is approximately 1 kilometer from the Turkish border. So again, more escalation the day after Turkey causes themselves international embarrassment by intercepting this commercial airliner traveling from Moscow to Damascus, claiming it contained weapons when in fact it contained nothing whatsoever. And you've got to love what Turkey's doing in trying to provoke constantly the Syrians into attacking, and then of course giving NATO the green light to drop its humanitarian love bombs. Because number one, if Russia is sending weapons to Syria from Moscow to Damascus on commercial airlines, then so what? I mean, if Turkey wants to be judged by their own standard, they've been arming, training, warehousing terrorist militants who are going into Syria to conduct terrorist bombings for months, probably for a year or more. And yet they're whining and bitching about Russia sending some weapons to Syria. They searched the plane. There's nothing even in there. So it became clear that there were no weapons on this commercial airliner. So the Turks simply sent in some goons to beat up the pilots, made them sign a forced confession, and then stole everybody's mobile phones from the passengers who were on the airliner and claimed they were military communications equipment. And half the media bought it. Later turned out that their narrative kind of collapsed, and now even the mass media is throwing the light of shame on Turkey, and they're being embarrassed internationally as a result of this action. But, you know, the UN, Hillary Clinton, NATO, and the rest of them are still standing firmly behind them. So while the Turkish people protest against their own government for this insane belligerence, which, as we wrote on Infowars.com just the other day, is hyping the possibility of regional warfare, the Turks continue to provoke Syria in the hope that they're going to react and that they're going to provide NATO with this justification for the no-fly zone, which is going to, of course, turn into the total bombardment, the style of which we saw last year in Libya. So it's insane. You know, it's only going to end badly for everyone, but Turkey continues with these provocations on a daily basis. AP's Seth Borenstein at it again claims global warming means more Antarctic ice. Meet the new consensus, the opposite of the old consensus. This is Mark Moreno, Climate Depot. AP's Seth Borenstein is at it again. Borenstein continues to serve in his role as chief apologist for the man-made global warming industry. This time in an October 10 AP article, Borenstein is working overtime to explain away record Antarctic sea growth, ice growth in 2012. As man-made global warming morphs more and more into unfalsifiable science and, quote, extreme weather claims, expect more tortured spin from activists like Borenstein. In a prime example of how the warmists cannot get their story straight, Borenstein's article turns former Vice President Al Gore's Antarctic claims and 60 Minutes claims on their head. So basically, this article documents how the claim that record Antarctic sea ice growth in 2012 actually validates global warming science completely contradicts previous claims and studies made by other global warming alarmists. Because the previous studies, which are cited in this article, state that low sea ice in the Antarctic was caused by global warming. Now the alarmists tell us that, you know, it's record high sea ice in the Antarctic that is also the result of global warming. So basically everything is a result of man-made global warming. You know, hot weather, cold weather, dry weather, wet weather, no volcano eruptions, multiple volcano eruptions, no hurricanes, lots of hurricanes. It's all your fault. And all you need to do is pay that carbon tax directly to Al Gore, to the carbon trading systems that he owns. And that's going to fix it all. And whatever the weather does, it's your fault, and you've got to pay that tax. But because of all this mealy-mouthed propaganda, and with belief in man-made global warming collapsing, the UN, as we've covered before, made that decision 2 years ago in their own blueprint to rebrand global warming as population control. We saw that just yesterday with the Bill Maher story. So now they're using contrived fears about overpopulation, which the UN's own population division figures show that by 2050 we're going to be in a depopulation crisis. They've replaced man-made climate change fears with that contrived fraud. Because as this story illustrates, the global warming mantra has collapsed because these scientists, especially after Climategate and all the other scandals, their own reports now completely contradict not only the science, but also each other. And they're scrambling to such a degree that it's all blowing up in their face, and confidence, belief in man-made global warming continues to collapse. Washington could become first state to okay pot sales. This is out of the Associated Press. Washington State is on the verge of becoming the first in the nation to let adults over 21 buy tax-inspected marijuana at state-licensed shops. It might not clear up more than a decade of confusion that resulted from the state's medical marijuana law or reverse the proliferation of dispensaries, but supporters say passing Initiative 502 on November 6 could make drug laws more reasonable, prevent thousands of arrests a year, and bring Washington hundreds of millions of dollars to help pay for schools, healthcare, and basic government services. So, great news there in terms of ending the drug war, which of course has nothing to do with fighting drugs, nothing to do with reducing the dependency on drugs, because that was never the goal. It's about controlling the supply and the sale of drugs. And of course, the feds are fighting against this Initiative 502 tooth and nail, because it represents a threat to their prison industrial complex, which is built on profits from the illegal drug trade. So we'll continue to monitor that story. Cops tase man for having seizure. This is out of Russia Today. And this has got to be one of the most insane taser stories we've ever covered. Just listen to this. Two Texan police officers are being sued for using a taser to shock a man who was having a seizure, causing the 50-year-old to suffer a heart attack and permanent brain damage. Scott Sheely filed a federal lawsuit complaint last week in Austin, Texas, requesting a jury trial against two police officers who shocked him with a taser. In May, Sheely unsuccessfully asked for a settlement of at least $1.5 million to cover the costs of medical fees, attorneys, and emotional damages. So basically what happened was the guy's brother calls for medical assistance after Sheely starts having a seizure there on the ground. For some reason, I don't know why, they send the police round first instead of the ambulance. And as he's convulsing, as he's having the seizure, the police, not trying to help him, they're trying to handcuff him. Because I guess that having a seizure is resisting arrest, as if they had any reason to arrest him in the first place. So even as his brother's screaming that the guy's having a seizure, the cops, you know, they've got their knee stuck in his back, they're squashing his head up against the sofa, they're cuffing him, and they're starting to taser him over and over again. Even after they've handcuffed him, they still continue to taser him. Because he's having a seizure. He's writhing around on the ground. These dumb cops think that he's somehow still resisting them. But if you think that the horror ends there, then think again. Because the paramedics then arrive. Thank God, you would think. But no, they actually inject him with drugs that cause the guy to have a cardiac arrest. So, you know, he's already having a seizure. He's been tased over and over again. And now he's having a heart attack. And it's just a miracle that he didn't die, because it took him 11 minutes to revive him after he'd stopped breathing. So now, basically, as a result, he's got, obviously, the emotional damage must be mammoth. He's got permanent brain damage, and he's suing the cops, and he deserves every penny that he can get. But again, you know, protect and serve at their finest once again. It makes you wonder where on earth they're finding these cops. And what they're training them with. Well, we know what they're training them with. They're training them that the American people are their enemy, that the American people are all potential terrorists and should be treated with the utmost suspicion. So that's why we continue to hear incidents such as this one. BBC News reports US prepares first strike cyber forces. Cyber attacks could inflict as much damage on the US as the physical attacks on September 11. The US Defense Secretary has warned. Leon Panetta said the country was preparing to take preemptive action if a serious cyber attack was imminent. He said US intelligence showed foreign actors were targeting control systems for utility, industry, and transport. And of course, this relates back to a story from earlier this month. Chinese hackers attack White House office in charge of nuclear launch codes. Hackers associated with the Chinese government attacked an unclassified network of the White House military office during September. The attack, first reported by the Washington Free Beacon, came as the White House nears completion of cybersecurity executive order. You can bet that's a little bit more than a coincidence. So, again, while there's no doubt that nations, you know, are engaged in cyber attacks against each other, of course, The United States is busy hyping the threat of cyber attacks in a bid to pass this increasingly draconian cyber security legislation, while simultaneously carrying out all the major cyber terror attacks. We've documented 2010 Stuxnet virus, which targeted Iran's nuclear facilities. It was launched by the US and Israel. The New York Times admitted that after months of us being called conspiracy theorists for saying the same thing. 2011, the Flame virus, which was a malware assault which was used to spy on Iran's computer networks, was also launched by, you guessed it, the US and Israel, and that was reported by the Washington Post. Then we had this story last month that we covered about three new viruses targeting Lebanon and Iran, which top experts at Kaspersky and Symantec said, in all likelihood, were launched by, you guessed it, the United States and Israel. So they're hyping the threat of cyber terrorism in order to pass this cybersecurity legislation domestically to centralize control over the internet, and geopolitically so they can put pressure on other countries, while they're the ones behind all the major cyber attacks. Again, total hypocrisy, a totally rigged scenario. Quote of the day now on InfoWars Nightly News. The EU has transformed most of Europe from a continent of wars to a continent of peace. That's from committee chairman Thorbjørn Jagland, who said that today in Oslo, of course, on the back of the EU receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. So as we said earlier, you know, if you count bombing third world countries and savagely beating people who protest against the EU in their own countries, if you characterize that as peaceful, then yes, Europe has transformed the continent into a very peaceful place to be. That's if you live in Orwell, Bizarro, Twilight Zone world, which all these commissioners apparently do. So, remember, we got the InfoWars Money Bomb coming up next week, October 18th and 19th, 48-hour special, and it's InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. Of course, you've seen where all your great support has gone over the past couple of years, hiring a ton of great new reporters, expanding the operation, reaching more people than ever before. So you can make that donation at InfoWarsMoneyBomb.com. And also, of course, PrisonPlanet.tv. We've kept it at the same price for going on, you know, 8-9 years now. You get all the special reports, all the speeches, all the special events, the live video of the Alex Jones Show. Of course, this broadcast goes out live before anybody sees it on YouTube. You can get all kinds of multimedia content at prisonplanet.tv, and it supports our operation. Stay tuned on InfoWars Nightly News. We've got more news and special reports coming up after the break.
Enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. We're going to go to a special report now from David Ortiz, who looks into a new television reality show called Airport 24/7 that glorifies the TSA.
For InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz. As Alex Jones recently detailed on his show, the Travel Channel has debuted a new show titled Airport 24/7 Miami, which focuses on the TSA and the wonderful job they do in trying to protect the American people. As you can see on this photo here, which shows the cast, they seem to be harmless individuals who are simply trying to do their job. Here's my assessment. While most TSA workers are good individuals who are simply being used as pawns by the federal government, this show will never focus on the large minority of TSA employees who are making the lives of Americans a living hell. According to the Government Accountability Office, in 2010, an estimated 50,000 individuals were pulled aside by behavior detection officers, and of that group, a whopping 300 were arrested. However, of that group, none of them were deemed terrorists. But don't tell that to this cast member.
It gets challenging.
And security has to obviously trump customer service in the end.
Absolutely, because our number one mission is to keep people safe. And we know that the terrorists are still out there trying to game the system.
So in fact, if so few terrorists are being caught, why are we spending over $8 billion annually to fund this security theater agency? In my opinion, a simple bulletproof steel door on an airliner, as well as bomb-sniffing dogs, and simple yet reliable metal detectors would barely inconvenience the public and give us a far greater return on our investment. This show also dismisses the fact that nearly every week, the TSA harasses Americans that are clearly not a threat to the public. Americans such as these.
Michelle Dene tried to do everything right for one of the last trips of her life, but says TSA humiliated her.
I had five total bags of these.
Dene is dying of leukemia and carried a large amount of prescription drugs through SeaTac last week for a trip to Hawaii. She called Alaska Airlines ahead of time for a wheelchair and to ask how her medicine should be separated for the security line.
I did everything they asked me to do, so I didn't think it was going to be an issue.
But during the screening, she says nothing went right. A machine couldn't get a reading on her saline bag, so a TSA agent forced one open, contaminating the fluid she needs to survive. Because of organ failure, Danae also has feeding tubes into her stomach. She says agents made her lift her shirt to pull back the bandages.
The pat-down at Dallas Airport was completely different than the one I got at LAX. And I'm sure this woman was just doing her job, but she actually felt, touched my vagina. And so I think that's why I'm crying, that's why I'm so emotional, because I'm already so upset that they're making me go, making me do this, making me choose to either get molested, because that's what I feel like, and or go through this machine that's completely unhealthy and dangerous.
On the heels of this show being unveiled, the Travel Channel, which is normally a fun and harmless network, is also debuting a new show called Baggage Battles. What viewers won't find out watching this show is that a lot of, quote, baggage battles could have been prevented had the TSA not stolen your stuff. A crime that former TSA employee Pythias Brown says occurs frequently.
I can estimate maybe have been about 200 grand a year, maybe more, for about 4 years.
$800,000?
Yes.
Worth of items that you stole?
Yes.
Out of luggage?
Yes.
So the bottom line here is the Travel Channel is mostly an entertaining and harmless network. However, this season they have dropped the ball by promoting a deeply flawed agency. And remember, if you want to hold the TSA accountable, partake in our opt-out and film campaign, which is taking place from November the 19th through the 26th. Reporting for InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Going to go to a special report now from Dan Bidondi, of course, with the flu season about to be in full swing. The new round of vaccines they're going to use to target you and your children. And Dan's going to show you some material which you can use to inform yourself on this important subject.
Hi, this is Dan Bidondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News. Summer has come to a close as we move rapidly to the fall season. It's time for big propaganda by Big Pharma to make big money. This scaremongering is what the mainstream media calls the flu season. This is a time of year that you will see commercials on your TV, signs at pharmacies, and even at Walmart to say, get your flu shots now. You will be bombarded with propaganda by your doctors, your children's schools, and in some cases, even your employer. They will tell you that it is not only mandatory, but a policy, when in fact, there is no law.
And the London Telegraph reports that flu jab linked to fits under fives on over 110,000 children were linked with a tenfold increase in fits. And doctors should stock alternative vaccines for under fives who are due to have the seasonal flu vaccine this winter. The action is being taken as a rate of convulsions caused by high fever among children in Australia given the jab was 10 times higher than normal. Up to 1 in 100 children given the jab suffered febrile convulsions in the following hours and days. And it goes on to say that seasonal flu vaccines contain three strands which have been identified by the World Health Organization as the most common in circulation that year. This year, the vaccines contain the pandemic strand H1N1. And ABC News reports that whooping cough vaccine protection short-lived studies warn. And they're saying that experts urge Americans to protect themselves with booster shots. Protection against whooping cough declines during 5 years after vaccine is given to a 4 to 6 year old child, a new study suggests. That's a lot of vaccines in 6 years, folks. An outbreak of whooping cough in California led experts to conclude that the current DTaP vaccine for children has not worked as well as older versions from nearly 2 decades ago, according to the new study in Thursday's New England Journal of Medicine. Whooping cough, formerly called pertussis, is deadly for infants, with outbreaks occurring every few years despite vaccinations. Again, despite vaccinations. Now, here they are, warning you that the vaccines don't work, but go on to say, until then, the current vaccine is safe and effective. It just doesn't last as long as we would like. And parents should know that some protection is better than no protection. That's a contradiction. How about no vaccine is better? Speaking of schools, GlobalGazette.com is reporting a flu clinic schedule at school functions. The Cerro Gordo County Department of Health will offer school-based flu clinics at various school functions. It's a convenient opportunity for the whole family to get vaccinated against the flu, said Karen Crimmins. She also states that we plan on to offer both the shot and the Miss Flu vaccine at these clinics. And this also goes back to 2010, ABC reports. Family school gave daughter H1N1 vaccine without consent. A California family said a school violated their right to choose and jeopardize their daughter's health by giving her the H1N1 vaccine. Parent Jose Gomez said he made it very clear in the consent form that he did not want his daughter to be vaccinated, but she was anyway. And it states that last week Martha was pulled out of class, and during an on-site clinic, she was given the vaccine. And we just talked about the on-site clinics. And Martha said, the daughter, I was very upset because nobody did anything when I said no. And Martha said she told a school security guard and a nurse who administered the shot that her parents were against it, but was told they had probably changed their mind. Unbelievable. And speaking of exemptions, folks, a report from Melissa Melton, our very own lovely reporter from Infowars.com, reports that New Jersey attempts to strip parental rights with vaccine anti-exemption bill. And it's reported that Senate Bill 1759 was approved 6-2 by the state's Senate Health, Human Services, and Senior Citizens Committee last week. The bill would place a greater burden on parents to clarify a valid reason for not wanting their kids to be vaccinated. It would define and further restrict what the definition of a valid reason is, limited options for opting out. Now, folks, that is against parental rights. And it's not only the children, folks. Now they're going after the senior citizens. And this next report by Alpha.org states that federal advisors say enhanced flu vaccine may suit seniors. The CDC, known as the Center of Disease Control, appointed Advisory Committee on Immunizations Practice, says a new, more powerful flu vaccine should be considered for nation seniors. And in the article, they state that called Fluzone High Dose, developed specifically for seniors, the vaccine has quadruple, that's four times the amount, folks, of immunity-building antibodies as standard influenza vaccine. In other words, four times the mercury, folks, four times the poisoning. And they state that each shot will be about $25, which is nearly twice the cost of the standard vaccine. Now, why do they want to poison the seniors even more? Could this be part of the Obama's healthcare end-of-life program? Big Pharma creates resistant tuberculosis white plague. This is reported by thenaturalsociety.com. And they state, again, Big Pharma creates resistant white plague through mass drugging. And through the article, it states that the disease is a totally man-made disease. Now, this is being reported by members of the World Health Organization Stop TB, that's tuberculosis partnership, outraged over the man-made disease progression, with member Lucika Dito stating that the drug-resistant TB is totally man-made disease. Again, a member of the World Health Organization is stating that TB is a man-made disease. So they manufacture these diseases so you can take the vaccinations. And parents, if you think getting your children vaccinated is going to protect them against everything, well, the latest research shows vaccinated children are more chronically ill than non-vaccinated children. And this is reported from naturalnews.com. And the article says that research has shown that vaccinated children are more chronically ill than their non-vaccinated counterparts. According to the CDC, the number of vaccines that are given to the children has increased more than three times in the last 29 years. In 1983, the children were given 10 shots from birth to 6 years of age. The compared to 36 to 38 for the same age group in 2012. And it goes on to say that vaccines can carry with them very serious side effects, ranging from mild complications such as fever or rash to major issues such as seizure and death. Children who are lucky enough to evade any major difficulties can carry with them health problems that will last for the rest of their lives. Folks, this is a very important issue that must not be ignored. Be responsible as a parent and for your own health. Do the research. Arm yourself with the truth so when you are confronted by a vaccine pusher, you can just say no. You and your child's life depend on it. In part two of this special report, we will reveal statistics that Big Pharma and the CDC use to justify poking you with the vaccine. I urge you to purchase his book, Don't Vaccinate Before You Educate, by Mayor Eisenstein. All the information you need to know about child vaccinations, it's available right now on InfoWarsStore.com. And this is Dan Bedondi reporting for the InfoWars Nightly News.
That's going to wrap it up for the news section of InfoWars Nightly News. Now, if you're into the Second Amendment, you'll be sure to want to watch this piece. Matt Williams is talking with Adam Moorhead from Legion Firearms. Let's go to this interview.
Thank you for joining us on a special report for InfoWars. My name is Matt Williams. I'm a firearms expert, gunsmith, firearms instructor, and definitely a firearms aficionado. Today we are here with Legion Firearms. We have the president, Adam Moorhead, here. Adam, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Matthew.
We have your leading product, the LF-15C. The LF-15C is by far one of the most outstanding rifles I've ever seen in my life. The performance of it, the accuracy of it, just the final touches that everyone looks for. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about Legion, your history. Why did you guys come up with the idea of starting a manufacturing company?
Sure, Matt. Some time ago, my good friend and I, Jamie Waymire, were sitting around just talking about firearms. He and I used to go shooting, him and his buddies, and mainly we're shooting military products. They're all ex-Army guys. So got really into the dynamics of what makes a really good rifle. Fast forward a little while, he joins a contracting company, wasn't making enough money over here, so was back in Afghanistan. When they found out he had operational experience, instead of building communication towers like he was hired to do, they had him searching for IEDs. So now I'm fearing for his life, want him to come home to his family. I had been doing consulting for startups and financial institutions for the last several years and wanted to get back in the game. So we started talking about what it'd be to build a modern firearms company. Thought about retail, thought about websites, and really came to the conclusion that if we wanted to do something game-changing, if we wanted to really bring our ideas to market, we had to get into manufacturing. So we started a plan, raised a little bit of money, and the first thing that we developed was the LF-15C.
It's an outstanding product. It's amazing. The LF-15C, for those who aren't familiar with Legion, is almost self-cleaning, almost self-lubricating, and sub-minute of angle accuracy with military ball ammo in some cases. Is
that correct? Absolutely. Yeah, the one thing we were thinking about in designing this is what is going to make a premier firearm. We're designing stuff for the modern warfighter, right? So our brothers and sisters that are in law enforcement, in the military, that depend on their primary weapon system to keep them alive, they have really just a few major criteria that they have to meet, right? It has to be accurate. It has to be able to hit on target. It has to be reliable. If a gun goes down, your life's in jeopardy. And finally, it has to have great longevity. So you look at a lot of guns out there, they jam up easy, the fit and finish isn't what it could be. They get corroded or they get carbon buildup, and that makes for an easy failure. Or to extend the life of it, they'll use, you know, cold hammer forged barrels, which are great. Nothing bad about them, but they're just not as accurate, right? So
right.
We really endeavored to take every piece of the weapon system, go through it piece by piece, and optimize it so you can eliminate a lot of those failures and have much better accuracy.
Yeah, without a doubt. I remember going to your proving grounds and just being astounded that the level of accuracy that was coming out of this was indeed an M4 platform and not a bolt gun.
Right.
For most parts, I've only experienced that out of the more modern bolt guns, like the Remington 5Rs and stuff like that, and the higher upper echelons. To see a platform, M4 platform, be able to deliver this kind of service and dependability to its operator is just unheard of, almost. So it's an amazing product. How did you get into the civilians, you know, the civilian market? Or is that usually what is driving the force?
Well, it's funny. So civilians want to use what the operators are using.
Right.
But the operators often will end up using what becomes really hot in the civilian market. So we knew that we had to be in both. But it's not just about that. It's also about getting people into shooting, right?
Right.
So Legion Firearms, we always want to be a very inclusive company. We want people to come out and experience what it's like to go shooting. Shooting's fun, right? So even if your life doesn't depend on this as a way to make a living, it's really fun to go punch holes in paper or shoot at steel targets, go to carbine training classes, learn how to shoot, get new accessories, optimize your weapons platform. It's a lot of fun to go out on the weekends and shoot, and we want everyone to be able to experience that.
Absolutely. I mean, a lot more states are starting to allow the 5.56 as a hunting cartridge. Here in Texas this year alone, they actually allowed suppressors to be used for hunting, which I think is awesome.
Yeah.
Why disturb the wildlife? Why are you hunting them? I think these are excellent platforms for that very thing. Maybe we could start on little pieces and examine what is the root cause of the level of accuracy. How did you manage to bring this level of accuracy to the consumer?
Sure, absolutely. Just to go over a little bit of this weapon system. Now, the M4 platform has been around since 1957. Eugene Stoner developed this to be a very easy-to-use weapon system, accurate. And if anyone knows their history out there in Vietnam, they experienced some problems when they started putting some different ammo in it. But otherwise, he created a very good weapon system. What we wanted to do, like I said, make it more accurate, better longevity. Now, accuracy mainly has to do with the barrel. This is ordnance grade 416 stainless steel with polygonal rifling through it. So it almost acts as a self-cleaning barrel. As the round moves down the barrel, it rifles through and brings a lot of the residue with it.
And just so the audience understands the polygonal rifle concept, many rifles out there are either broach cut, button cut, in which case it gives a deep groove inside the barrel. Now, those grooves will actually start building up with contaminants, mostly carbon, but it does inherently affect accuracy. With a polygonal land system, it's more uniformed. So you have more smooth edges and smooth land, so at that point, there's real no indention, so to speak, to allow for that carbon and contaminants to build up.
Also with this barrel, you can see we have our specialized hex fluting in it. One of the things that makes stainless steel barrels a little less popular is the weight. So with this hex cut fluting, we are able to do three significant things. One is cut almost a pound off your standard mid-length 16-inch barrel. Two, it stops a lot of the resonance that would normally travel through a barrel that affects accuracy, especially if you're doing fast shooting. You've got to get back on site acquisition. It helps also to dissipate heat throughout the length of the barrel.
Nice.
So if you're in a firefight, God forbid you're in there for a long time, heat becomes a real, real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And this helps dissipate that a little bit. So it makes for a much more functional system on top of the super accuracy that we get out of the 416 stainless.
It's amazing. And the finishing, you know, what is the finish exactly? I know you got nickel boron on the bulk carrier and the internals.
Yep.
But what's this wonderful finish that I keep seeing?
This is Cerakote. It's actually a ceramic coating. We have a full ceramic coating facility up in Temple. We can do basically any color that the customer wants. You know, the real popular ones, of course, black, FDE,
right.
Your OD, your Coyote. We have our own special alpha gray and a tactical gray that are really cool looking, very trick and slick. Plus, they're really durable. So, you know, we want you to go out and beat up our guns. We want you to go out and throw them in the dirt or whatever you have and still have that finish looking great. And this is one way to do it is with Cerakote.
Yeah, no, I've heard a lot of nice things about Cerakote, more so over Duracoat. Not only the application process, but the longevity of the product. You also do, for a few dollars more, multicam. Yeah, multicam is a fantastic camouflage. And on these rifles, it looks spectacular. So it's a fantastic finish, and definitely a part of the reliability package and low maintenance. On the lower receiver, I notice that's not a mil-spec trigger you got in there.
No, it's not. This is actually the Advanced Combat Trigger, which is a new system that we've been testing. It starts life as a GI trigger. It's then polished and coated in nickel boron. So it brings the trigger pull down from, you know, between 7 and 10, wherever GI triggers lay, and they always lay someplace different,
yeah.
Down to a consistent 5.5 pounds. We normally actually ship our guns with a CMC trigger, which is a Texas manufacturer that makes a fantastic 3.5 pound pull drop-in trigger assembly. But we've been playing with these a little bit, and we really like them. And it Retail price of around 79 bucks. It's pretty affordable.
Yeah, I would say. This is just a completely awesome package. I noticed you had, is this a Noveske switchblock?
Absolutely. For those of you out there that want to run a suppressed weapon system, the switchblock allows you to be able to tailor the gas that's coming through the gas tube into the action, so you can run either single shot, where there's no gas traveling back, or suppressed, where you mitigate a little bit of the gas coming back, or of course, if you're running a standard configuration, you can open it right up. And it's super easy to adjust with just a simple adjustment that pulls out, pushes in. You don't need any special tools. Anyone can operate it.
So you really have taken a revolutionary approach to the M4 platform and made something that, well, I'm sure in Vietnam they were cursing this rifle.
They were.
But you've actually made this pretty much I think it's been plateaued. I don't know what more could be done to M4 to make it better.
We like to think so. We like to think this weapon system is the end-all be-all for the M4 platform. You mentioned before the nickel boron. This is a monolithic upper receiver, so it's really strong. It really helps accuracy because of the free-floating barrel system here. The nickel boron, both on the bolt carrier group, the inside of the upper receiver and lower receiver, adds something that a lot of manufacturers are starting to come up to and understand, but we've been doing it since our inception. For reliability, you want to be able to have something where the carbon doesn't build up. And here, it's like you said, it's magic. It's almost cleaning itself. This gun just came out of a carbine course where we fired 1,000 rounds through it. If you're to look inside the action, yeah, it's dirty. It's not that dirty. We can run 3,000-4,000 rounds before we clean it, let alone going through and maintaining it.
That's amazing for a gas impingement system.
Absolutely, because you have all that blowback and carbon coming back there. Another thing, lubrication, hell, we'll just lubricate the gas rings, the firing pin. That's it.
Wow.
No dumping lube in there. I mean, we use very little lube. You don't have to get it all greased up and disgusting. And furthermore, if you think about the environments that we end up fighting in,
right,
you don't want a ton of grease and goop in there that attracts dust. What's that do? It makes it so you can't fire your weapon. That was something that was very critical to the design of our gun.
Well, I remember one of the products that I use wholeheartedly is Legion Oil.
Yeah, thanks.
And I have got nothing but amazing results out of it. It has a high flash point, so you don't see it evaporate under heat. It doesn't collect dust. Where'd you guys come up with the idea on the oil?
Well, actually, I had been working with this company on creating a BioLube. I figured if we're going to continue to make advancements as far as the interior not needing lubrication, let's not use petrol-based lubrication, right?
Right.
So there's been a lot of advancements in how people have taken soy and wheat and corn and made them into really good lubricants. We found this one that outperformed on specifications alone everything that we'd looked at from the modern gun lubrication companies. So we ordered a batch of it and started playing with it. And like you said, it's amazing how well it performs.
Yeah, I've been a huge fan of the product. And, you know, nowadays everyone's so used to smelling hoppies or stuff like that. They smell the Legion. They're like, what is that? You know, what's that oil in, or what's that smell? And I'm like, that's Legion. So finding a lube that can survive up where I myself am shooting thousands of rounds downrange and don't have a weapon seize. There's only two lubes that have been able to do it, and Legion's is one of them.
That's awesome.
Now, this year, you had released a pistol.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know, we've been doing rifles for a little while. We have, of course, our Charlie out there. We have our Delta out there. We've got a new LF4 that's coming out soon.
What's the difference between the Charlie and Delta?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question. So our Charlie utilizes a monolithic upper receiver. The Delta, on the other hand, uses a two-piece or modular setup, so you have a little more adjustability in what you want to do as far as a rail system. You know, we really like these really thin, really easy to hold rails that don't have a lot of attachments but still have all the ability to add rails wherever you need it.
Right.
But some people like a big quad rail, or some people like, you know.
Well, what I've seen in the industry is a lot of students will come out with these guns with rails, and if you give them rail, they will find something to put on it. So the next thing I know, I find myself dealing with a student who's got a 20-pound M4. And, you know, that's one of the features I really like about this is the contour of the foregrip. It allows a good purchase, so that way you can drag that thumb over the top.
Absolutely.
You get some of those rails, and you got to have gorilla hands to do that.
Yeah, and who wants to lift a 20-pound? I mean, weight is your enemy, especially if you're having to lug it around all day.
Right.
You don't need all that stuff on there. This gun even has a little more than I normally run. I don't run a foregrip like this, but all you really need at the end of the day is some way to sight it in, a flashlight to be able to see at night, done.
Right.
And weight, you know, this gun without the optic or the flashlight or the grip is about a 7.2-pound gun, which is lighter than pretty much all of our competitors out there.
But what about the D model?
The Delta's even lighter. It comes in at 6.8 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
And I love this rifle so much that, let's talk more about the pistol. I'm always going to go back to this. So tell me about the pistol.
Well, we really wanted to get into doing something that's a Legion pistol. And we had been looking at a variety of stuff out there, what makes a good combat effective gun. And we started talking to the guys at STI, good friends of ours in Georgetown, about their 2011 line, which we absolutely loved because it's super accurate, super sturdy. But they were primarily a race gun manufacturer, really tight tolerances. It's cool. But we wanted to do something different. Keep in mind, we're building guns for combat.
Right.
So a combat effect of 1911, 2011, what does that look like? Well, if you look at our pistol, we put the custom dual-sided serrations in it, so it's really easy to operate the action on it. Did a threaded barrel so you can attach a suppressor easily to it. Custom stippled the grips. Did the lanyard mounting on the extended magwell. Large capacity magazines. Optimized the tolerances and made them tight where they should be tight, but kept them loose where they should be loose. So you don't have to run 1,000 rounds through it before it'll actually cycle correctly, which to us is crazy. And then, of course, optimized every component in it like we do with any Legion product. Cryogenically treated springs, nickel boron, the bushing, the slide, the frame. So you get the same kind of longevity, you get excellent accuracy, and it's really sturdy. If you've seen our YouTube videos where we're throwing it in the dirt, seen us on Facebook, or if you came out to our proving ground, if you remember that pistol line, you know, Rome would be sitting there letting someone shoot it. He'd take it, throw it in the dirt, pick it up, put a mag in it, and put it in the next person's hands. And would that thing shoot? Hell yeah.
How many rounds did you guys get out of that day?
You know, I don't know. If I were to take a guess, there'd be well over 1,000 rounds through that one day alone. And we put probably 8,000 or 9,000 rounds in it prior.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because I actually came up there just to shoot the pistol. I love rifles. As an instructor, I find that, if I'm going to provide a service, I want to be one of the best. And that's why I stick to pistols, because I'm confident of that. Rifles is something I'm learning, more so that I've never been a true warfighter overseas and whatnot and have the level of experience that a lot of people in this area do. But I'm starting to get it. I'm starting to love it. And Legion is something I absolutely love. And you guys are doing all sorts of products. You guys are selling other retail products, so this way you can retrofit these from the factory and drop it out of box ready to the consumer, right?
Absolutely.
So you, what are some of the other products your company carries?
Well, we do a lot of stuff, and it's not just about the weapon system. Recently, we designed a tourniquet pouch. Our good friend Jason Crosby and us worked together with First Spear to do basically an admin tourniquet pouch. Once again, an essential thing for a firearms enthusiast, particularly if you're a warfighter, but I think everyone should have one. If you're out at the range, let's keep in mind, folks, this is a deadly tool, right?
Absolutely.
It's meant to be lethal. Accidents do happen even for the best of us, and everything we do to create safe shooting environments for our students, right?
Right.
But nonetheless, something can happen, right? And having a tourniquet pouch, a first aid kit like our the dark pouch that we carry from Dark Angel Medical are essential tools to keep you safe. We also like to do little fun things, but as far as our weapon system development, we've got new rail systems coming out. We've got a new Gen 3 upper receiver coming out. We've got a charging handle coming out shortly that's ambidextrous, much like this. So we're really going through and optimizing each end of the weapons platform, and more so, even with soft goods, it's all about the gear you carry to make your shooting experience better or safer.
So Legion is basically always going to be propelling itself to be on the cutting edge of technology.
Absolutely.
Dude, that is awesome. Want to take this and go shoot it in the parking lot. I don't think our neighbors would appreciate that. And then you got some debuts for SHOT Show.
We've got a lot of cool stuff coming out, and actually we've had a couple of things come out in the last month. You had mentioned that suppressors now are legal in Texas. Hey, hogs are a big problem out there. Hog hunting is really fun. The best time to do it, it's at night. Get out your night vision, put a suppressor on your gun, go shoot some hogs. Our muzzle brakes on these are battle comps, so they're suppressor ready. And we finally came out with a 300 blackout round.
I saw that.
Talk about a nice big heavy bullet to go down and shoot some hogs. It's a fantastic setup.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you know, the only problem I have with hogs is my freezer's empty. So still working on that though. I figured I'd let a cold front come in and kill off the ones that aren't so healthy.
Right.
But
you mentioned SHOT Show. We've got we're prototyping a 7.62. We've been talking about it for a long time, but it's a kind of a battle rifle concept. We'll have that out there. We'll be doing some interesting things with a different pistol line, more of a standard semi-automatic that I can't talk about yet, but you will see it at SHOT Show. And we have a couple of new rifle assemblies. I mentioned our Gen 3 rail system and upper receiver coming out. They'll be ready by SHOT Show, too, and they're game changers, even lighter, even more functional. Very cool stuff.
That's amazing, the 308. I'm standing in line for one of those. There's no way I'm going to let one of those slip my hands. So what is you know, Legion's purpose? I mean, what are your feelings? You know, so many people think, and these are more non-shooters. Mm-hmm. You know, there's 80 million gun owners out there, averaging about 3.6 guns each. So that's a lot of guns out in American hands. Mm-hmm. And it's our constitutional right to support that Second Amendment. Some would rather pervert it. And you know, the thing is, you know, we should all have access to these things, not only for self-protection, but just for liberty in general. Some of the best guns in the world are the ones you don't have to fire under terms of stress. So what's Legion's position as far as, you know, civilians owning what some would call a military platform?
Right. And I think that's a great question. Now, if you look at the life cycle of all guns, the history of firearms generally, most of them, I'd say probably 99.9% of them, started out for military application. So even the modern hunting rifle, bolt rifles that people love now, they started out in use in World War I, right? So it's very much the same weapons platform. I think you're going to see a lot more black rifles in hunters' hands. 5.56 round or 300 blackout, 7.62, they're all highly effective hunting rounds depending on what you're shooting at, right? So hunting is one thing, sporting is another. There's been a huge growth in the competitive shooting industry out
there.
Man, it's great. You see shows like Top Shot. You see people getting into three-gun or pistol shooting competitions. Why? Because it's a lot of fun. Anyone that's taken time to go out and shoot a target and learn about firearms, they'll say the same thing. It's an exhilarating experience. It's even more exhilarating when you get into doing it competitively and get right. better at your craft, right?
Absolutely.
And then let's talk about defense. You know, a lot of people have fears around owning firearms. The best way to overcome your fear of firearms is get trained on using firearms. Understand the functionality of it. Folks, it's just a tool, like any other tool. Cars kill far more people in America than guns do. You don't see anyone going out and banning Priuses.
Right.
You just have to learn how to use an inanimate object in a safe and controlled way.
Right.
So I think it's very important for anyone to get out there that's interested in defending your family, interested in having fun on the weekends or days off, or that depends on one to save people's lives. Learn the tool, understand the tool, own it, and be safe with it, and enjoy it.
Right. No, I agree with you 100%. I get a lot of people who come to some of my more advanced classes never even firing a gun. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And, you know, I want to help them, but, you know, they need to learn to crawl before they walk and walk before they run. And so many people try to skip that because, well, you see a lot of Hollywood influence. And the Hollywood influence, you know, it's remarkable because they'll make their money based on guns, but then they'll turn around and denounce them.
Yes.
And it's something that in the firearms industry, many of us industry professionals are disgusted by. And it really deters some people from feeling comfortable around them and learning the proper way. So it's nice to have a company like Legion around that's not only bringing us cutting edge technology, but at the same time supporting our rights. So basically we have, how many employees are you up to now?
Well, there's six of us at the Legion family.
Right.
We're constantly growing. We've been on a pretty fast growth spurt ever since we debuted a lot of the stuff at the last SHOT Show and got a lot of people really interested in some of the innovative stuff we're doing. So we're really pleased with our growth.
Nice. Now I understand because of the high quality of this product, and the high demand, you build these in units.
Yes, and we custom build them to our customer specifications. So depending on what you're using the firearm for, depending on what grips you like, what sights you like, whether you're a novice and you don't really know and you want us to coach you through what the assembly of a great firearm looks like, or you're a seasoned professional that knows exactly what you want on a gun, You can call us up. We're high touch. We like to work with the customer directly and help them understand how their build will go. And so it takes time. We're not Ford.
Right.
We're not churning out guns on a you know, some kind of huge assembly line. We're making these with love and care, hand-building them, hand-coding them to customer specifications. So it's a process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, my grandfather always told me, buy cheap, buy twice.
Right.
And I don't want to go cheap with something that's going to save my life, or more importantly, the life of my loved ones.
Absolutely.
What's your turnaround time right now? Like, if I were a guy out there calling up Legion Firearms and you picked up the phone and I was ready to hand off a check, how long until I have my rifle?
Right now, we're about 16 weeks.
16 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. And with the election year, the demand we're seeing, a shortage of some supplies that normally are very abundant, even like safety selector switches and stuff, that we have to order 4 or 5 months ahead of time to be able to get in time. Yeah, it's really made it a challenge, but it's been great. Our customers have been really supportive about it, and a lot of our competitors are now 9, 10, 11 months out.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was checking some of the other competitors, and sometimes a year.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And it's just everyone is getting to guns. I mean, last year we were at 70 million. There's something like 5 to 10 million new gun owners just in the last year alone.
Wow.
So to see that kind of volume, to see those kind of the Americans getting more understanding that, listen, you know, law enforcement's there to try to protect you, but unfortunately there's a downtime there, and 4 or 5 minutes for response allows a lot of damage to happen to you and your family. And if you don't take personal defense seriously, you're putting your life on hold, literally.
Right. You can't depend on law enforcement to protect you. That's really not their job.
Yeah.
They're there to catch criminals when they do a crime.
Right.
And so what do you do in the interim?
Try to prevent it.
Absolutely.
And the only way to do that's get in the fight.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a remarkable product. I enjoy everything that comes out of your guys' shop, and I'm just going to try to figure out how I can con you out of this before you get out of the studio. But it's just an amazing, amazing product. And to shoot sub-MOA with military ball ammo, it's unheard of. I mean, that you have long-range precision platforms that can't do that.
Right.
So you guys have done a hell of a job, and I congratulate you.
Thank you very much.
Well, Legion Firearms, probably one of the best manufacturers I've ever seen. Coming in with their competitor, usually about $1,000 under MSRP. Fantastic product. There is a little bit of a wait, but considering the competition, you'd wait a year, 4 months isn't too shabby. If you have any questions, you can contact Adam or some of his staff at Legion Firearms. You can go to legionfirearms.com in order to check on some of the products. You can also use the product code InfoWars, and maybe they'll maybe cut you a little slack and send you a hat with a rifle. This is Matt Williams with InfoWars, special report, special review of a fantastic company. We thank Adam for coming out and showing us his wares. And that'll about do it for us.